land, creating space to erect new habits. But you still have to get in there and build the house. It's not like all of a sudden when the ground is cleared, you have a beautiful house to live in. You need to build your discipline from the ground up in the newly created space. For help in building discipline, there are a ton of general resources out there, such as The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, Atomic Habits by James Clear, or the Stephen Covey books. This subject is widely covered by experts who specialize in developing structure and discipline, and the advice applies well to traders. In addition, the general framework for what makes a disciplined trader has already been pretty well defined. I'm not going to talk about that structure or tell you to do a trade journal, track your trades, or analyze your charts, for instance. But if despite knowing what you ought to be doing or having read resources like the aforementioned, you continue to lack discipline, something is missing for you. What I provide in this chapter is some advice on how to tackle the problems preventing you from establishing the consistent habits you know will enhance your trading, and maybe even think about discipline a little bit differently. Discipline is not a one-and-done deal. You don't just become disciplined. It's not a static achievement that's accomplished once. I'm disciplined! And then never thought about again. Neither are you someone who's either disciplined or not. That's too basic an analysis. All of you, right now, are disciplined. Everybody has their own degree of discipline. It's impossible to be at this stage of your life without having some of it. You have areas of strength, regardless of how weak they may be compared to other traders. Maybe their discipline C game ranks above your discipline A game, but you have to look at it through your own range. You must establish where you're currently weak to make progress. Discipline follows the inchworm principle. You have both a range and an opportunity for continual growth. The definition of an optimal level of discipline changes as your goals change. But for a lot of traders, there's a large gap between where they aspire to be and where they are now. This chapter is designed to help you eliminate your current discipline C game and narrow your range. Your ability to be at your best is linked to how strong you are when you're weak. Being stronger or sucking less at those times when it's easy to slip back into your discipline C game is essential to becoming more disciplined. That perspective should motivate you. You don't have to focus on becoming disciplined like it's a personality trait, but instead you can pinpoint specific habits at specific times to improve. As you build those habits, becoming more disciplined in executing your trades and the actions around your trading, you create an internal process that's built for growth. Discipline, however, comes with a cost. There's a freedom that comes with trading, especially for traders who work independently. You get to participate in this worldwide marketplace with massive opportunities. Obviously, there are rules to how the industry operates, but there's open runway to make it what you want for yourself. Discipline runs counter to that idea, and it can take away some of that excitement. It can make discipline feel like more of a chore rather than the thing that unlocks your potential. In some respects, traders are like artists. Artists usually don't like constraints either. They want to be free to unleash their creativity in whatever ways their instincts or intuition guides them. But artists need tools to create, paintbrushes, chisels, etc. And their creativity is bound by their ability to use those tools. Developing their technique and the use of those tools unlocks their creative potential. In the same way, discipline is a tool that you use in trading. And if you're not continually upgrading your abilities with that tool, your potential is capped. Nature of discipline. Discipline comes from a combination of mental strength and willpower. Your mental strength comprises the muscles, and your willpower, the energy that fuels them. While mental strength is a concept that gets thrown around a lot, it often lacks a strong operational definition. Mental strength is the strength of your connection to an idea, concept, or belief. Mental strength isn't some esoteric, intangible idea. We can evaluate it much like an athlete would assess their muscular strength. How well does their body hold up under the conditions of competition? Where is it strong? Where is it weak? Where does it break down and fail, and why? At some point, your muscles will eventually weaken or fail, in competition or doing hypertrophy training in the gym, and that gives you an indication of your current capacity. In the same way, when you look closely at the breakdowns in discipline, examine the ideas, concepts, or beliefs that fail to hold up in your mind. Then try to determine what makes them weak, what flaws might exist, and what ideas might be acting against them. Think about the people that you believe are mentally strong, and consider the ideas that most deeply personify that strength. Perhaps someone is devoutly religious. They have an intense connection to the religious doctrine they follow. How about a U.S. Navy SEAL, who lives by the creed that, if knocked down, I will get back up every time. I will draw on every remaining ounce of strength to protect my teammates and accomplish our mission. I am never out of the fight. Or the athlete who believes they can win no matter what, even against insurmountable odds. These ideas are so deeply embedded in their mind that they hold up under the most intense circumstances and make that person mentally strong. In trading, consider the idea of preparing for the trading day and properly reviewing it afterward. This is part of a daily routine that you intellectually know is important. But how strong is the connection you have to it? Does it hold up on days when you've slept poorly or tilted? Have it after big winning or losing days, or in an extended drawdown, or after months of consistent profits. Those situations challenge the degree to which the importance of a daily routine is strong in your mind. When you have a rich understanding of the value it provides, the consequences for half-assing it, the steps to completing it, the methods of adapting it, and you have practiced enough to master it, there is such strength behind the routine that it happens automatically in those situations. You can't help but do it. That's just how you operate. Common signs of discipline problems. Many of you already know the instances where you lack discipline. Think about the times when you failed to follow your daily stop loss, to take a break to reset when you're bored, or log your trades at the end of the trading day. Worse, you're aware that you should be doing these things, but you can't will yourself to do so. You force trades even when you know there's no opportunities, you get in sooner than your strategy tells you to, and you get sucked into looking at other markets outside of your strategy. You trade just to trade. Lacking the will to do what you know you should do is the most notable sign of a problem with discipline. Willpower is the name for the energy you use to be disciplined. Unfortunately, like physical energy, willpower is a finite resource. When you're running low on willpower, you lack the energy to power your mind and maintain discipline. Your willpower isn't just affected by trading activities. Your lifestyle can drain you as well. Much like athletes organize their lives around training and competition, you may need to do the same thing in trading. Make trading the center point of your life, so your energy and willpower are at peak levels when the market is open. You don't need willpower to be at your worst. You do that easily. Willpower is the energy you deploy to build the habits, routines, and processes that build strength and improve discipline. This should be freeing. Sometimes willpower is talked about in an all-encompassing way, like you're someone who just lacks willpower. But in truth, we all have it. The question is, are we able to use it in a precise way? When it comes to trading, decisions themselves cause fatigue. Every decision burns energy, and eventually you can run out. Think about the periods of time in a day when you lack the energy to properly think. It becomes easy for your mind to wander. You spend too much time on Twitter, start looking for opportunities outside your strategy, or think about plans for the weekend. Steve Jobs' famous turtleneck and jeans wardrobe wasn't just about branding. It was an energy saver. He made one less decision each day. Energy is finite, and while there are ways of replenishing it during the trading day, preservation can sustain discipline execution. Ultimately, you only want to use the amount of discipline that's necessary to achieve your goals. The traders who overwork themselves and repeatedly burn out could arguably be excessively disciplined. That workload is not only counterproductive for trading, it can suck the life out of your life. Resentment builds and decreases your longevity in the profession. You don't want to be more disciplined than you need to be. Many of you are here because you don't have enough, but it's not black or white. Where do you need it and in what way? Get precise, because like any other problem, the details matter a lot. Lastly, it's important that you distinguish whether discipline is breaking down because of emotions or a lack of willpower. If you're unsure, here's a simple question to ask yourself in moments when discipline breaks down. Are your emotions too high or is your energy too low? If your emotions are too high, it's not a discipline problem. Emotions do put pressure on your work habits, but they do so in ways that I talked about in chapters 4 through 7. If, on the other hand, your energy is too low, you're in the right place. General strategies to improve discipline. Traders often wish they had more discipline, but are unprepared to build it in a sustainable way. The biggest opportunity to improve your discipline actually happens at the times when you're weak and more likely to fail. Maybe you're weak in a certain type of market, entering a particular type of trade, or at a specific time of day. Regardless, you need to be ready to take advantage when the opportunity arises. In addition to the advice unique in each of the 6 discipline problems addressed later in this chapter, here are some general ways you can improve discipline. Take full responsibility. The first step to becoming more disciplined is to acknowledge that your success in trading is entirely on you. You're the only one responsible for your goals, decisions, time, and work ethic. If you rely on external things, make excuses, or hope someone else or some event will drive your success, you'll never reach the level of discipline you aspire to. Even if you work in a firm or a proprietary shop, success is still ultimately in your hands. Regardless of your reporting structure at work, you're effectively your own boss and need to behave that way. Sure, you could argue that that's not actually true in an office setting, where you report to someone who limits your risk and the types of trades you can make. Except you chose to take a seat there. You make important decisions, and you're to blame if anything goes wrong. So it is true. You're still your own boss, even if you don't get to make all the decisions. Think of it as having set up your own shop in their office. The reason you may shy away from this idea is because you feel less pressure when someone else is running the show. The ultimate responsibility is on them, not you. Knowing you alone control your fate can feel like a heavy burden on your shoulders. Sometimes it just becomes too much to bear, and discipline problems are an attempt to relieve some of this weight. Taking responsibility isn't just about making that declaration. You need to understand clearly why you give up responsibility in the first place. Not surprisingly, there are often unknown factors and influences that undercut your efforts. You need to tease them out so they can be corrected. Quick tip. Review the ways in which your discipline breaks down and write down the benefits of breaking your rules. The idea that a breakdown in discipline could be beneficial can sound strange, but our actions always serve some benefit. Going through this exercise can make you more aware of why you're willing to let go of your responsibility for your own discipline. Increase mental strength and willpower. Break out of the idea that you either have discipline or you don't. You have it, you just want more. A big part of how you develop more discipline comes from increasing both mental strength and willpower. As I mentioned earlier, mental strength is the muscle behind the rationale for your habits, while willpower is the energy that drives the repetition needed to form those habits. By pushing yourself to be more disciplined at times when it doesn't come easily, you can increase your mental strength and willpower. The process is simple. In the moments when you have the option to succumb to the weaknesses in your discipline, push yourself to do better. At the same time, reinforce the rationale around the habit. If, for example, you consistently fail to log trades, go through your pre-market routine, or analyze charts, start with the minimum amount you can possibly do. It doesn't matter if it's as pathetically small as 1 minute. Choose the minimum you can do consistently, under any circumstance, no matter what, except during random emergencies. Even when you're tempted to give up, think about your goals and push yourself to take steps towards them. Sometimes just making a little progress can be transformational. Obviously, you can do more than the minimum if you get on a roll. Over time, as the habit gets stronger, you can scale up and work on making your small actions automatic, and then use your discipline on the next habits. This is not something you can do in a day. It requires consistency. If you fail to maintain that consistency, you're instead ingraining bad habits, making good ones harder to establish. Quick tip. Traders often make the mistake of aiming for levels of discipline that are beyond the front end of their inchworm. That's like going to the gym and trying to bench press 200 pounds when you can only lift 150 pounds. While not beyond the realm of your potential, it's not realistic yet. Start with what you can do and improve upon it. And be sure to reinforce the progress that you're building, not what you're still lacking. Otherwise, self-criticism will slow down the process of building greater discipline. Use, don't abuse, inspiration. Inspiration is a tool. When used in the right way, it can assist in developing discipline. Use it incorrectly or abuse it, and you'll perpetuate the same problems that brought you to this chapter. In order to avoid making that mistake, let me explain some background theory first. Although you may consider them to be one and the same, there's a significant difference between motivation and inspiration. While each plays an essential part in developing discipline, motivation is like a marathon runner, and inspiration is like a sprinter. Motivation is a more stable energy that keeps you consistently working over the long term. Inspiration is high energy, and it provides short, intense bursts of energy needed to get you fired up or to stay on track. Inspiration isn't what's going to allow you to consistently train yourself to adopt all of the habits you need as a trader. For that, you need consistent and stable energy to keep you motivated over the long term. We all have habits that have become automated, some of which we call bad habits and attribute to a lack of discipline. Training to that degree, however, doesn't differentiate between good or bad. It just knows what it has learned to the point of automation. Overtrading, constantly checking P&L, or getting distracted by social media are habits you're really competent at, even if you consider them bad. You abuse inspiration if you rely on it to change these old habits. If you need a daily intake of things to fire you up, such as challenges or bets with other traders, watching clips of The Wolf of Wall Street, or new trading courses, you're compensating for an underlying problem. Inspiration makes you feel like your bad habits are gone, but eventually they return because you didn't upgrade or correct them. Inspiration is best used sparingly and just as an extra boost when you're most likely to fail. It's like the personal trainer egging you on to get in those last reps. If you need a trainer to even get you to the gym, you have a deeper problem with discipline that inspiration can't fix. That could be your way of trying to manage any of the discipline problems described in this chapter, or it could be your way of dealing with fear or a confidence problem. Quick tip: if you're going to use inspiration, plan out the specifics in advance. You don't want to search for something to inspire you when discipline is falling apart. Be prepared with the music, movie clips, quotes, videos, catchphrases, etc. Whatever can quickly and reliably inspire you when you need it most. Mapping where discipline is needed. The ability to increase your discipline must come from a realistic assessment of your current strengths and limitations. Remember, it's not black and white. Regardless of whether or not you think of yourself as someone who is mentally tough, strong, gritty, or has good willpower, you're missing the point. Inchworm teaches us that we still have room to improve. Completing the discipline mapping will give you a good picture of the work you need to do. From there, you get to define the workout, the places where you're weak and can get stronger. The following steps will help you create a document that will become the map of your current level of discipline. Step 1. Start by writing out a short description of what ideal or optimal discipline looks like for you. Think about the instances where you've demonstrated it. Be specific about what that means in terms of your routine, motivation, focus, energy, executing your trading strategy, and the actions you take around trading. A written description not only provides clarity on what you're striving for, creating one makes it easier to recognize the subtle signs that discipline is breaking down. This is critical. Regaining discipline is always easier when the problem is small. Here are some questions to help you think about what it means for you to be optimally disciplined. What's unique about your decision-making process and execution? How do you manage the ups and downs in P&L? Describe your focus, motivation, and energy. Describe what you do at the start and end of both the trading session and the day. Under what conditions do you have it? If you've never attained that level of discipline, what realistically is your current peak? Step 2. Over the next few weeks, pay close attention to breakdowns in discipline. Examine and capture the signals of a breakdown, including thoughts, emotions, things you say out loud, behaviors, actions, changes to your decision-making, changes to your perception of the market, opportunities or current positions, trading mistakes. Keep a document open on your computer or a notepad next to you while you trade and take notes throughout the day. At the end of the trading day, review what you found and add additional details. Be as comprehensive as you can. And remember, times when you lose discipline are great for identifying what's happening and understanding why. Here are some questions to help you get started. In what ways do you typically lose discipline? Impatient, bored, distracted, lazy, etc.? What are the things that you do instead of what you're supposed to be doing? How frequently does it happen? In what situations do you most likely lack discipline? Do problems occur more when you're winning or losing? In certain types of markets? At the beginning, middle, or end of a session? After or before trading sessions? How impactful are fluctuations in sleep, diet, and exercise? What excuses do you make for instances when you lose discipline? What's the first sign that discipline is breaking down? For example, you can't sit on your hands. You know you need to just walk away, but you remain glued to your screen, watching P&L fluctuate, and looking for more trades to take. Or when volatility dries up, you get bored and start looking at social media, but you miss opportunities that still present themselves. Perhaps after a rough losing session, you don't sleep well, and the next morning you look over your pre-market data too quickly. The combo of less sleep and poor preparation lead you to enter impulsively, chase price, and take random trades outside your strategy. keep an eye out for signals and patterns like these. And remember, mapping discipline is an iterative process. When you spot new details, even just slight adjustments, be sure to note them. Small details matter and can make all the difference when the opportunity to make progress is on the line. Step 3. Once you've gathered a lot of details, organize what you found by listing them in order of severity in a document, where 10 is optimal discipline and 1 is your worst level of discipline. At each level, identify details that clearly distinguish it from the other levels. As you assign levels of severity, split them into 2 categories, the mental and emotional side of discipline and the technical side. They sit side by side, so for example, level 10 on the discipline side corresponds to level 10 on the technical side, and so on. You don't need to have details for all 10 levels, however. Most traders whom I work with aren't able to distinguish their levels of discipline to that degree. Do as many as you can, but do a minimum of 3. Then take the details you've categorized and put them into a map like this. Discipline level. Describe the thoughts, emotions, things you say, behaviors, and actions that highlight each level of discipline. Complete at least 3 levels. 10. Energized, totally consumed by the process, waiting for the market to come to me, not concerned about money. 8. Wondering why it's not working and trying to convince myself that it still can. A bit on edge, leg bouncing. 5. Heart rate accelerating, moving the mouse faster, care what other traders are thinking, and looking for something newsworthy. Thinking about how to end the day green. 2. Can't step away, even though I know I should. Checking P&L every 10 minutes. Body feels itchy. Technical level. Describe the quality of your decision-making, perception of the market, opportunities, or current positions at each level of discipline. 10. Taking action only at my predetermined spots and able to let the trades play out. 8. Have trouble letting go of losing positions and looking to enter new spots sooner than my strategy tells me to. 5. Forcing trades for valid reasons, but not my ideal. 2. Overtrading, getting in and out of positions more randomly, moving my stops. In this example, impatience is the primary problem. However, if you have multiple discipline problems, you can include them on a single map. Now you have a starting point to dig into your discipline problems, so you can identify the cause and devise a strategy to move your C game forward. Impatience. Impatience comes in different sizes and exists on both a micro and macro level. Think about how you feel in a drawdown and when lacking opportunity in the market. Maybe you get tired of waiting and can't sit on your hands anymore. The itch to fire off a trade is so strong that you find an excuse to justify a mediocre one. Or you have trouble watching a position as it closes in on your target. The up and down ticks drive you crazy. You want it to hit your target now. You're like a sports fan sweating the back and forth of a tight game, and you close it prematurely just to kill the tension. Perhaps you make decisions too quickly. You see a flurry of activity and want to jump in. You don't take enough time to properly manage risk, and then you overreact to a move in the market and end up chasing it. All of these are signals of how impatience presents itself on a micro level in your day-to-day trading life. You may be well aware of impatience on these micro levels, but not recognize it on a macro level. You can be impatient with lulls in your career or itching to make a lot of money really fast. You can be impatient with the learning process, effectively wishing that you could learn things instantly or far more rapidly than is realistic. Or maybe you can't tolerate a new strategy or system's inevitable drawdowns, so you're constantly searching for a new one. Other signs of impatience on a macro level include believing that you can make opportunities appear, a version of the illusion of control, an inherent distrust or uncertainty around your overall strategy, and losing sight of how you make money. All of the emotional issues we have covered in this book are large contributors to impatience, most notably greed, FOMO, and tilt. You simply can't sit on your hands, allow the trade to play out, or properly consider all the key factors when making a decision, because the emotions build up like a pressure cooker and you feel compelled to act. When addressing impatience as a discipline problem, you're not going to become patient by forcing yourself to be patient. Patience is a byproduct of working the process. When you have a firm grasp of process, whether it be building a career, executing a trade, or correcting a mental game issue, you're automatically patient. Provided there are no underlying flaws that alter your perspective on that process, impatience ceases to be a problem. The reason why this is so important is because when someone has told you to just be patient, they're advising you to slow down and take your time. That's not what you should be doing. What you should be doing is moving as fast as possible while maintaining the process necessary to be successful. Imagine an assembly line moving too fast and the final product ends up with missing or broken parts. On the other hand, you don't want the process to move too slowly either. That assembly line needs to meet its quota. When impatience causes a breakdown in your decision-making process, the solution isn't simply to slow down, but to train yourself to automatically consider the pieces of your process that typically go missing when you're impatient. For some of you, that's impractical. You have too much discretion in your decisions. But the places where impatience shows up could still be an indicator of a hole or weakness in your strategy. For instance, you may not know all the reasons why what you're doing is right or wrong, and this leads to impatience. Ask yourself, why do you feel this need to move faster? What's pushing or compelling you? If it's a purely competitive drive, maybe you're not actually impatient. Maybe that's just a criticism you hear from people who aren't as motivated as you are. Another reason could be that you wish skill or competence could be acquired instantly. Outwardly, you may be committed to the learning process, but deep down you wish you didn't have to go through all the ups and downs that come with it. Sometimes traders are so driven to succeed and make a lot of money that they aren't thinking about longevity and building a solid base of skill. But think about it. Do you want to be a flash that comes out of nowhere, makes a ton, and then has a high risk of losing it back? Or would you prefer the lower risk route, where you consistently build an edge in the market over the long term? Sometimes traders race for financial security without realizing that security also comes from developing a process that creates and maintains an edge in the market. Boredom. Boredom is a signal of the absence of opportunity, either the opportunity to execute trades or the opportunity to learn and develop. Or you're burned out and lack the energy to focus as you would normally. From the execution side, being bored could indicate that current market conditions are unfavorable for your strategy or system. In that spot, your mind will turn off or go flat. You'll feel unenthusiastic about anything you see and should scale your expectations appropriately. The problem is, instead of a scale, your mind only has an on-off switch. In that situation, it's easy to overreact to the size of the drop in opportunity. A 50% drop in the number of opportunities suddenly feels like nothing is happening, and you shouldn't even be trading. As a result, you miss trades because your mind lacks the interest in finding them. It's hard to calculate the cost of these loss opportunities, but they exist, and you need to keep your mind sharp enough to capitalize on them. Yes, you may not make as much as you would have in a normal market, but isn't something better than nothing? Isn't what you could make now ammunition for when conditions turn and you could capitalize on it more? From an execution standpoint, it's easy to overreact and think there's nothing you can do. You're physically there, but mentally on autopilot. The key is to shift your mentality from that of a starting quarterback to that of the backup quarterback. Assume there's opportunity and you just need to be ready. Remember, assuming there's nothing you can do is a form of thinking you know what's going to happen, and you don't. For some, this requires developing a new level of focus or mental activity. You need to look at it as a skill and train it. First, write up a clear description of what readiness looks and feels like for you. For example, having a strong, engaged level of energy that's not overly intense and being present without being detached. Then, when a moment of boredom strikes, challenge yourself to figure out how you can achieve a greater edge in this type of market. What are the little things you can do? Focus on what keeps your mind active. Market cycles like this will continue to happen. If you find ways to improve, cycle over cycle, you'll find the antidote to boredom. You can't change the market, but you can change how you operate in it. This advice proved helpful for Michael, an energy trader from the US who started his own fund in 2004. He ran into periods of significant boredom every few years. Before he and I talked, he mistook these for periods of burnout, and he'd take 2 to 6 weeks off to decompress. He'd come back refreshed and go on to crush it. After years of tremendous success, however, Michael noticed that something was different. Instead of taking a vacation, what he wanted to do was quit. Days that had once been busy, dynamic, and packed with action now felt boring. Part of it was due to the market. Around 2014, the volatility and liquidity in the natural gas market dried up, and it truly was less busy. He went from 100 plus trades per day to 20, There was less opportunity for risk or reward, and Michael started to wonder if he should get out. It turns out, however, that what was silently killing his passion for trading wasn't the reduced opportunity. It was an assumption that nothing was going to happen. Michael was showing up physically, but mentally he would give up if there weren't plenty of opportunities right out of the gate. Talking through it, Michael recalibrated his expectations. Sure, an 80% reduction in the number of trades per day was significant, but 20 wasn't zero. He committed to making a serious and conscious effort to participate in the first few hours of the morning, and then, if nothing was going on, he could call it a day and work on other things, such as charitable pursuits or other investments. With that effort to participate came a renewed sense of pride and satisfaction that can only come from working hard. And soon he remembered that he still loved trading. But what sustained this progress long-term was recognizing his effort. Michael rated himself daily on the following dimensions: how hard he worked, quality of energy, level of interest in the market, the effect of outside emotions. The daily repetition built up a strong sense of accountability and responsibility. Even if the results didn't pay off that day, Michael felt better about himself and his performance when he knew he was putting in the total effort. If he was thinking and engaged, that made him feel productive, and he ended the day happier no matter what the result. Boredom leads to overtrading. Other traders react differently to sideways or uneventful markets. Boredom signaled them to overtrade. In this instance, the line I hear frequently is, "My job is to trade, so not trading just feels wrong. Sitting on my hands doesn't make sense." This is typically caused by a subtle fear that makes boredom a threat to your trading operation. Or it's driven by a need for action that comes from overconfidence or mild desperation. If boredom cues your mind to overtrade, you need to dig into the reason why. Does your mind go into overdrive? Are you worried about how long this market will last? Why you're the only one not making money? Or how it will affect your goals or your bonus? If boredom brings up these questions, it's not a discipline problem. It's linked to fear, and you'll find your answers in the fear chapter. Overtrading can also come from overconfidence. The illusion that you can control your results and force profits, as well as a need to always have positions on, is a sign of desperation or lack of confidence. Review Chapter 7. You can also use periods of boredom to correct the weaker parts of your decision-making process that lead to mistakes like overtrading. Figure out the specific ways that your decision-making process changes. And when you become bored, train the correction. For example, thinking about the context of the market as a whole. If that's a consideration you don't think about when bored, training to do so will allow you to eventually think about it instinctively. I'm not suggesting that you can automatically have a perfect understanding of the market as a whole, or that you're automating your decisions. I'm suggesting that you can upgrade the process for how you make decisions by training yourself to consider factors that you fail to see when you're bored. The net result is that it becomes easier to avoid overtrading. Believing there is nothing to learn. Boredom can also signal a perceived lack of opportunity to learn and develop. But guess what? There's always an opportunity to learn. In these moments, you just lack the clarity for what that means. It's easy to lose sight of what you're trying to improve on and be too lax in adapting your strategy to a market like this. Boredom happens because you're not challenged. Trading in a market like this may be easy for you. In that case, boredom is a signal that you have extra mental bandwidth that can be used productively. You could use it as an opportunity to look at aspects of trading that you wanted to work on but put off. The dynamics in trading are varied and constantly changing, and that's a big reason many of you love it. Every day is unique. There are always new areas in which to develop an edge. Trading is always evolving, and there's always more to learn. Figure out how to use your extra bandwidth. Bored when burned out. Boredom might be a signal that you're burned out, and if you are, the only correction is an extended break. Burnout can be easy to miss. You may think that you're being lazy, or making excuses for why you don't have the energy you usually do. What you need is a way of distinguishing burnout from these other discipline problems, like laziness, by finding some key markers. You can't just blindly keep pushing yourself. Burnout is a bit like a burn to your skin. There are matters of degree, and the worse it is, the longer it takes to recover. One of the biggest indicators of true burnout is being tired of the repetitive nature of trading, where it just feels like a chore. You've lost the excitement and interest you usually have for it. Whereas if you're being lazy, you're more likely to make excuses and spend your time elsewhere. For example, when you're lazy, you have no problem trading. That's still exciting. But the idea of researching or analyzing trades sounds painful. But when you're burned out, the whole thing is just overwhelming or seems boring. To be clear, burnout is not permanent and it's not bad. I'm actually a fan of pushing yourself to the point of mild burnout because it means you have hit your own limitations. If you never get burned out, you don't know how much more capacity you have left on the table. Being able to recognize the signs of burnout, like boredom, is an important skill. It allows you to work as hard as you possibly can and then know when to back off. Being overly results-oriented. Obviously, results are important. But problems arise when an excessive focus on results causes your process to break. You end up focusing too much on intraday profit, locking in winners too early, looking for outsized profits, ignoring your own rules, and/or trading outside of your system or strategy. Usually there's an emotional reason for this, but from a discipline standpoint, you may just believe that results are all that matter. Ultimately, your success is determined by the amount of money you make, and when your results dominate your intraday focus, it's easy to lose sight of how you make money. It's a distraction. You're distracted by the shiny object that's your P&L. You disregard elements of your decision-making process, like risk management, and take trades with a smaller edge or even no edge at all. You jump into new markets without considering your lack of experience. You ignore the process. Result and process goals work together. Result goals are the end point. Process goals determine how you'll get there. A terrific example of how they work together is how the United States came to land on the moon in 1969. Against the backdrop of tremendous political tension between the U.S. and the Soviet Union, President Kennedy sought a challenging but achievable win that the U.S. had a solid chance of completing first. In 1961, he set the goal of landing on the moon before the end of the decade. Prior to his announcement, most scientists doubted it was feasible. But with the stakes raised, the scientific community, government, and private industry needed to figure out how to make it happen. How do you build a spacecraft capable of landing on the moon and returning to Earth? How do you train astronauts to navigate in space? How do you get the 400,000 people who eventually worked on the project to work together? These and thousands of other steps, or process-oriented goals, pave the way to get mankind to the moon and back. Elevate your focus on process and how you'll attain the lofty goals, albeit less lofty than Kennedy's, you want to attain in trading. If you're overly results-oriented, one reason could be that you lack clarity around the process by which you'll attain them. For example, nailing down a consistent decision-making process, creating a strong pre- and post-market routine, and reducing tilt. These types of goals allow you to shift your focus from the ups and downs of your results or your daily P&L to the processes that produce it. To be clear, you're not eliminating result goals. I don't want you to stop focusing on results. I want you to drive towards them in a more disciplined way. Making money remains the dominant focus long term, but how you make money is your dominant focus short term. The way to do that is to elevate the importance of process goals. You already show up every day with the goal of making money, but none of you would ever choose to do it by relying on getting lucky after having made a series of bad decisions. Whether you realize it or not, you place a high value on the quality of your process. Elevate your process goals, and your focus won't be dominated by results. Think of this as goal diversification. This is particularly important in trading, since you can control whether you achieve your process goals in the short term. These process goals can become even more specific and detailed as you determine how to achieve each one. Take the goal of improving discipline. Define how you'll do it. For example, by working to create a clear map of your discipline A to C games, improving recognition of early signs that discipline is falling, and actively working to correct it in real time. Then, even when you're tired or in a drawdown, two things that normally make it harder to maintain discipline, you can see progress that a sole focus on results would have missed. Ultimately, the energy you put into achieving your process goals is fueled by your strong desire to reach your result goals. And the stronger your desire to achieve your result goals, the harder you'll work on your process goals. Process-based goals are especially important in industries like trading, where the variance makes it difficult to have full control over your monetary results. If at the end of the day, you don't hit your monetary goal, but you're now able to focus for 5 hours without getting distracted, execute your strategy, and consistently follow your routine, at least you'll know you've improved and controlled what you could. Distractibility. There's a shocking level of distractibility in today's world, and traders are not immune. In fact, in some ways, you're particularly exposed to it. You must sift through streams of data from multiple sources in order to interpret and capitalize on opportunities. But as you interface with these data streams, it's easy to allow information that's irrelevant to your trading decisions to flow in. You've got the charts open, but you're trying to do something else on the side, and you end up making a subpar trade because you weren't focused enough to make a proper judgment. You may think such distractions don't affect you, but here's a quick way to demonstrate what happens when the mind attempts to do two things simultaneously. While reading the next several lines, focus on the sensation of your legs against your chair or the feeling of your feet on the ground. Force yourself to feel the sensation of your legs or feet while paying close attention to what you're reading. See if you can notice the shift that your mind makes between reading and sensing your legs or feet. Do you notice how each time your attention switches, you lose information from the other point of focus? Your eyes may continue to scan the page, but you no longer pick up every word, and you may even have to reread them. And every time you only focus on reading, you lose awareness of the sensation in your legs and feet. Imagine this happening while trading. Every time you focus on Twitter, a text message, or an unrelated discussion, you may fail to pick up data relevant to your trading decisions. Focus can be broken down into two parts, attention and concentration. While people often use these terms synonymously in terms of focus, there's an important distinction. Attention is the direction of your focus, determined by your goals, needs, motives, interests, priorities, and values. Concentration is the amount of focus you have, which is ultimately determined by your level of energy. If these subtle differences are unclear, think about the way in which people talk about focus. When someone says, pay attention, they're telling you where to focus. When they say concentrate, they want you to increase your level of focus. This distinction is important because it illustrates the two ways of improving focus. Give it better direction and increase the amount of it. Attention. Imagine that you're in a dark room. Hidden in the darkness are all the areas in your life fighting for your attention. Trading, family, Twitter, cat videos, clickbait, exercising, a good meal, your next trip, picking up the dry cleaning, etc. Literally everything that you could be interested in is represented on the floor, ceiling, and walls. You can't see them right now because the room is dark, but they're there. Now imagine you turn on a flashlight, much like how you first open your eyes and start your day. You shine the light around to get your bearings and understand all of your options. Then it's time to choose. You decide to trade. You shine the flashlight in that direction, and all of the things that are integral to your success are illuminated. Your routine, your pre-market checklist, and trade journal are all there. Immediately, you know exactly where to focus because it's lit up by the flashlight. And just as importantly, everything unrelated remains hidden, in the dark. There's no other options illuminated by the beam of light. Trading becomes your entire world because every other option is invisible. That's the power of your goals, to point your focus in the right direction and block out all the other things that don't matter. Guided by your goals or motives, focus is your tool for gathering the information needed to make decisions. Yet what does your focus actually look like during the trading day? Does it stay in the right place for an hour or so and then fade like the batteries are dying? Is it a wide beam that casts light across many things at once? Or is it a narrow beam that jumps around? If your goals aren't up to date, if they lack deep personal meaning, if they're too far away to feel real, or they lack clear details, your focus will never reach the level that's truly possible. Moreover, every strategy that you use to fix your focus will only be a band-aid. You want your focus to be completely consumed by what you want to focus on. The question is, why does it get pointed at something less relevant, or even irrelevant, when you're trading? Saying you're distracted is too simple. When you look closely at the motives or reasons behind why you choose to have your attention drift elsewhere, you'll find a conflict. Consciously, you might know that trading should consume all of your attention, but your strength to hold your focus in the right place has been compromised by the desire to shine the flashlight onto something else. For example, let's say that you find yourself unable to stop paying attention to the trade ideas from other traders on Twitter or those of a trading group. Why is that? Perhaps you want to be entertained or social. In order to get yourself to consistently focus on your charts and be disciplined in your focus, you need to resolve the reason you seek diversion during the trading day. Use the mental hand history to get at the root of the conflict. This perspective was particularly helpful for Brian from Canada. Remember him from Chapter 3? His inchworm was too wide, and the idea of sucking less, along with a framework to achieve his lofty goals, helped him to swiftly identify and correct greed and fear. Yet while those problems had been addressed, his focus still needed work. For a long time, the way he had dealt with the emotion was to procrastinate, lose focus, and think about his future. His mind would frequently wander to sports, finances, or imagining an ideal life. With the greed and fear removed, we took aim on improving his focus by applying a strategy of taking defined, 5-minute breaks throughout the day whenever he felt very distracted. When this had happened previously, he would disappear for a lot longer than 5 minutes, often the rest of the day. He didn't understand how to reliably get back in front of the charts. At first, he set the 5-minute break to occur every 25 minutes, following the Pomodoro technique of time management. During the break, he would first note what was on his mind, then give himself a few minutes to relax before re-emphasizing process, focus, and execution for the next 25-minute block. This really helped him to reset and refocus. Throughout the day, I also had him log every distraction to make him account for every instance his focus wasn't optimal. These distractions ranged from something as simple as thoughts about sports to as large as getting lost in social media or imagining his future. Lastly, we found that his focus issues were connected to his experience in school and in his prior corporate job. An intelligent, hard worker, he naturally thrived in both environments and was very successful. He expected to have the same results in trading, despite the environment being very different. The uncertainty and lack of structure exposed weaknesses in his focus that had begun in school, because he hadn't needed to fully focus to get straight A's. His mental hand history revealed the underlying issues. 1. What's the problem? I have very high expectations about the amount of money that I want to make and what I want to achieve. And I frequently envision a future income level and lifestyle, which includes traveling the world and living in the Caribbean. 2. Why does the problem exist? Trading is my source of income to fund that lifestyle, but it's hard and can be a real struggle. These thoughts are an easy escape from the struggle and the work I must put in today in order to eventually get there. Effectively, I'm choosing comfort and ease in the short term. 3. What is flawed? Thinking that I can achieve the outcome that I want without actually putting in the work. I know what I had to do in school and in my previous corporate jobs, and I'm expecting my intellect to get me what I want without having to work for it. My past experience gave me a false sense of certainty that I can expect to be as successful in trading as I was previously. 4. What's the correction? I need to grow beyond my expectations from the past. I don't have guarantees here. I have a lot of belief and a lot of desire. I've gotten this far by half-assing it. Just think of what I could do if I put my full effort into doing the work needed right now. I must embrace the discomfort and put in the focus needed to pursue my goals. 5. What logic confirms that correction? I've faced uncertainty successfully before. I just didn't appreciate it. I need to take trading head-on, with a process that allows me to get where I want to be. If I feel comfortable, I'm doing it wrong. Take the risk. It's okay to fail. It's okay to have trades lose. If I escape, I stop myself from learning and take away the chance to attain my dreams. Taken together, he worked the process day after day, and over time he naturally progressed beyond the 25-minute blocks. Now he focuses until he hits a point where his distractions become disruptive. Sometimes his focus can last as long as several hours or as little as 20 minutes, at which point he follows the 5-minute break routine to reset and start again. Concentration. With your goals set, attention directed where it needs to be, and any conflicts removed, the next part of the equation is concentration. Increasing concentration is no different than the overall idea of increasing discipline. There's an endurance component to it that requires energy. Many of you start with sufficient energy, but quickly lose it because you lack a strong connection to your goals. Ideally, you want your goals to be so well known, they're like the back of your hand. On the other hand, some of you lack endurance. You're like an out-of-shape athlete. To build your endurance, you must design an exercise program to increase the duration of high-quality focus. Much as there's tremendous diversity in how athletes train, there's considerable diversity in how traders operate, so much so that it's tough to create a defined workout for everyone. Ultimately, you must do what works best for you. That said, the general advice that has worked well for my clients to strive for is around an increase of concentrated time by 10% week over week, combined with a week of no increase every 4 to 6 weeks. That may sound low, but the key is finding a way to achieve sustainable growth, not temporary progress fueled by inspiration. Having mapped your discipline problems earlier in the chapter, you can now go deeper into detail on the specific ways your focus becomes divided. Follow these steps. 1. List all of the things you focus on that are low value or that you'd consider a distraction. For example, trading group banter, daily P&L, positions, or divergent moves in related markets. 2. Determine when they tend to arise. For example, are they more present at the beginning, middle, or end of a session? 3. Rank the severity of the distraction as minor, moderate, or severe. 4. Select one or two from the most severe category. 5. When the urge to engage in those distractions appear, push yourself to focus on an amount of time that's doable, but not overwhelming, 5, 10, or 20 minutes. Too often, traders try to fix all their distractions at once and think that it's easy to improve just by keeping it in mind. The urge to engage in those distractions is strong, and the more you avoid it, the stronger the urge gets. That's expected in the short term. You're battling to build discipline around your focus. That takes repetition and experience. Work hard to maintain focus for 5, 10, or 20 minutes, and then either do it again or take a short break before doing it again. Trying to focus for 3, 4, or 5 plus hours at a time can feel overwhelming, but chopping up the time makes it easier and feels more like a workout. Another thing you can try is something I call prepare for perfect. This is an experiment that can be good for those of you who are easily distracted or if emotional problems previously affected your focus. It can also be useful if you haven't been in the zone for a while and have forgotten what it's like to even be there. Your goal with this experiment is to create the best possible conditions to reach a peak level of focus for trading. Imagine your next trading session was the most important of your entire life. What steps would you take to ensure your focus was perfect? This is just an experiment, so really go for it, and don't worry about whether it's practical to do on a regular basis. Identify everything you need in order to be at your best: getting proper sleep, planning and eating an optimal diet, getting a moderately intense workout, avoiding social media for 24 hours, etc. Then actually do whatever you think it'll take, even if it means setting aside a few days to properly prepare for the session. The purpose of this experiment is to experience optimal focus. From there, you'll gain insight into what it takes to be at your peak, and perhaps more importantly, recognize more easily when your focus is poor and why, which will feed your ability to push yourself to increase the duration of your focus for 5, 10, or 20 minutes at a time. Lastly, everything I've talked about in this section was framed around improving intraday focus, but all the concepts and strategies also apply to work outside of trading hours. Laziness. Calling yourself lazy is actually lazy. Rather than analyzing why you lack the motivation to do what you ought to be doing, you conclude that you're just lazy and treat it as an incurable disease or an immovable part of your character. Laziness seeks this kind of comfort. Believing laziness is something you can't change is easy. Laziness loves doing the minimum. If you believe deep down that laziness is permanent, even if it's just a small part of your character, it would be illogical for you to try to do anything to change it. However, laziness is not a fixed trait. Breaking out of this ailment takes some work. This section can make that task easier. You might equate laziness with having zero motivation, but it's actually impossible to have no motivation. Instead, think of being lazy as having strong motivation to sleep for hours, watch TV, or mindlessly surf the internet. While that might seem like I'm just changing around words, stating it that way is important for understanding and fixing the problem. Laziness is actually a skill that, for better or worse, has been learned. You've learned the skill of doing something other than what you ought to be doing. Instead of learning how to be productive, you've learned how to be lazy, and you're quite good at it. In trading, laziness is more likely to show up for the tasks around trading, like reviewing previous trades, developing new trade ideas, and reading research. First, the desire to get into the action and trade. The intensity of trading gives you the rush that makes it fun and exciting. Research, on the other hand, can be tedious and boring. You have to generate the intensity to make it valuable. Why do the research or analyze your trades when it's easier to do something mindless? Laziness can develop for many reasons. Perhaps it started early in your life if you weren't pushed to excel, or if the environment wasn't that challenging for you. I'm not saying that all people who are lazy are smart, but I've seen many people who are very smart develop poor work habits when their educational environment didn't challenge them. They did enough to meet their goals, either get A's quite easily or get by without trying very hard and still get into a good college. In comparison to the standard provided to them, they weren't lazy. However, relative to their potential, they were incredibly lazy. But their potential wasn't the benchmark, externally or internally. The habits that formed during that time continue today. People also become lazy when the structure they're used to having in their lives is gone. When living with family, going to school, or working for someone else, you don't have to think much about what to do, you just have to do it. The value of having that structure provided for you often goes unrecognized until it's gone. Now you have to do both. Decide what to do and do it. That extra layer may not seem like much, but it makes life or trading more challenging and can lead to laziness. Or maybe after you started making good money and had some success, you no longer felt any urgency. Perhaps you were incredibly motivated for much of your life and trading career. But having reached the goals you dreamed of, whether being able to quit your job to trade full-time or feeling financially secure enough not to worry about money for years, laziness has unexpectedly popped up. The issue here is that you're now either coasting on your previous success, expecting it to easily continue, or you've simply failed to set a new goal or determine new things to challenge you. In this way, laziness is just a signal of a lack of direction that drives you. Finally, trading is an enterprise that attracts people with the fantasy of easy money. They lack the right work ethic prior to trading, and as a trader, struggle to put in real work. Trading is enjoyable and doesn't have to feel like work, but it's easy to lose sight of how to become successful. Choosing productive activities and having a more rigorous work ethic may not seem like fun at first, but it's definitely more fun than failing, having an ordinary job, or proving your doubters right. Success is also gratifying and makes the mundane tasks that are necessary to achieve it less painful. This doesn't mean that putting in the extra hours of work is more fun than going out with friends or taking time off to travel, but those decisions take on a different context when they give you a greater chance of reaching your goals. To begin correcting this problem, you need to change the way you view yourself. You're not lazy. You're highly motivated to do other things rather than what you ought to do. Motivation is simply the energy you have behind your goals. And when you look more closely at the specific habits you avoid and the ones you choose to do instead, you gain insight into the reasons behind your preference for unproductive activities. You may be changing the flawed idea that laziness is a character trait, breaking out of the mold where your potential is defined by other people, learning to hold yourself accountable to your own structure, or breaking the illusion that money and trading comes easily. Find the motivation to drive towards your own vision. Redefine your goals as a trader or for your career. Then zero in on the day-to-day micro decisions. There's a list of things you should be doing, and there's a list of things you're doing instead. To consistently choose more of the things you ought to be doing, uncover the reasons behind your laziness, and build the skill to make better choices. 1. Write the excuses you make for choosing the lazy things you do. 2. Write why each of those excuses is flawed or wrong. 3. List all the productive things you can do instead, and the value of each activity. Then when those moments arise, think of the short and long-term value of doing the productive habits compared with the low-value, immediate gratification lazy ones. Doing what's less fun now means you can have much more fun in the future. Work harder when it's hard, and eventually it'll become easy. Don't hide behind your potential. See how good you can actually become. Laziness seeks comfort, but you can no longer delude yourself into thinking that laziness is something that you can't change. You can no longer lazily call yourself lazy. Maybe that will compel you to dive into the reasons you form these habits, patterns, or skills, and develop new ones. Procrastination. Constantly putting off what's important defines the skill of procrastination. Sure, there's a lot you could be doing, such as reviewing your trade journal, researching a new strategy, or upgrading your chart reading skills. But it's easier to delay that work until tomorrow. The problem is that tomorrow, for those of you who are highly skilled procrastinators, is a fantasy that will never be realized. You're a master at delaying today's work, but when tomorrow becomes today, you're not skilled at getting work done. You're skilled, once again, at delaying it until tomorrow. The fantasy is that you'll actually do the work tomorrow, but what I just described is why that won't happen, so the pattern continues. Eventually, you become fed up with your antics, realize that you need to make some money, worry you might get fired, or there's some other reason that makes you feel like your back is against the wall. Being in that position triggers a rush of inspiration. You put your nose to the grindstone and rip through all the things that you've been delaying and avoiding. Unfortunately, when you successfully avoid the worst case, you're more likely to slip back into that habit again. There's no real consequence other than some wasted time and opportunity, and that's a business expense you're willing to take. Your behavior has seemingly been rewarded, and there's no reason for you to change. And yet here you are, which means that you know procrastination is causing some kind of damage, and it's time for a change. If you want to stop procrastinating, you first must eliminate the belief that there's always tomorrow and develop the skill of doing the work that you ordinarily delay. That means learning how to work when you're not under intense pressure or stress. Working with your back against the wall is easy. You have no choice but to get it done. Procrastination took away your options, but it also created a lot of stress and pressure in order to focus and motivate you. To break that cycle, you need the strength and willpower to remove delaying as an option. Remember, today is when improvement happens, not just in your trading, but also in reducing procrastination. Today is your only opportunity to improve. Tomorrow is a fantasy. One of the problems with procrastination is that the value of the work you end up doing under intense pressure gives you a false sense of strength and mastery. Obviously, this is different if you're studying for an exam related to work. But if we're talking about upgrading your competency that defines you as a trader, in these periods of intense work, you're mostly expanding capacity at the front end of your inchworm. You're not permanently upgrading your C game. Instead, you end up with a wide range and all the problems associated with it. Correcting procrastination helps you narrow your range and build your competence in a more stable and consistent way. Building the skill to work consistently doesn't happen overnight. As I've discussed before, start with what you can guarantee you can do regularly, even if that means just working on it for 5 to 10 minutes a day. Of course you can do more, but you can't sustain that output consistently yet. As 5 to 10 minutes becomes easier, you can scale up the time and eventually build towards what's optimal. In the end, you'll find this to be a much more sustainable way of developing competence than delaying and cramming. In this chapter, we've looked at how to tell when you're dealing with an emotional versus actual discipline problem, and the many signs of discipline problems, and the ways that issues with discipline might manifest. You've also learned multiple tactics for addressing challenges with discipline, from focus tracking and time management tips to using the mental hand history. You should be well on your way to enhancing your discipline, or at least knowing what steps you need to take to improve it. Early in the book, I talked about how control isn't a solution, resolution is. Resolution frees you from having to constantly fight greed, fear, tilt, overconfidence, lack of confidence, and poor discipline. Instead, when you permanently correct the performance flaws that cause those problems, your mind is freed up to focus on trading and figuring out how to make more money. We've been steadily working towards resolution throughout the book. Now that we've explored the many ways that emotions and discipline problems can hijack performance, how to recognize them, and identify the root cause, you're ready to take the final step. I'll get deeper into how the brain works so you can correct your problems in real time while avoiding the brain's tendency to commandeer your good intentions. Chapter 9, Correct Your Problem. Give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. Origin unknown. You realize by now just how detrimental your mental game problems are. Envision them gone. That's what resolution can do, and it's an outcome worth the hard work it takes to get there. I imagine some of you are overwhelmed by what you've read thus far, and others are optimistic about what this system can do. Rest assured that at this point, you have the foundation for how to recognize your problems and correct your reactions. Now you should be firmly focused on the work needed to resolve them. Resolution is your ultimate goal because that's how you can truly take your performance to another level. For many of you, the road to resolution isn't a straight line and looks different than you expected. Having been a coach for over 15 years, I've learned a lot about the process involved with resolving problems. I've crafted this chapter to make that process easier and faster, regardless of your starting point. Traders often assume that their mistakes, especially mental and emotional ones, should be easy to fix. You know what the mistake is, so just don't do it anymore, right? Seems like a simple enough strategy. But in the heat of the moment, it's not that simple. Mistakes continue to happen, and you either get pissed off, feel pressure, lose confidence, lose motivation, become distracted as a form of denial, blame something random, make excuses, or any combination of the above. You know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, yet you tenaciously believe the problem should be fixed easily and still don't work on it. Plus, since you're now even more aware of it,